The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Oh, the news of the boat, by the way. Manxman got into Heysham at just before a quarter to midday. She'll be leaving at a quarter to two, and the Fastcraft leaves Douglas at 3 o'clock heading for Liverpool. What do you think about Chris Thomas, the Douglas Central MHK, asking Timwell to report on the subject of active travel? He said that the transport strategy doesn't cover active travel. And it's I don't know whether you were listening yesterday to the students from Castle Roshan High School. There were eight of them in there. We have a sample of eight from years 12 and 13. The old sixth form, that is. Not one of them cycled to school. They'd got bikes, lots of them had got bikes, but nobody cycled to school. And I was asking afterwards about the staff. A few members of staff cycle. We'll ask this all the way around the schools. Twice a year we go around all the high schools on the Isle of Man. But I have to be honest with you, very few pupils cycle to school. And active travel is advocating this. Cycling, public transport and walking. So if young people aren't getting this and are not walking towards this, how is this all going to happen? How are we all going to be active travelling in the future? If cycling, public transport and walking are going to be the future as we go towards net zero and reducing our carbon footprint, what's going to have to happen? If people, and of course, lots of people do cycle at the weekend. You'll see all the Lycra-clad crew zooming around everywhere. Lots of people go around the plantations. There's lots of mountain biking going on. But it doesn't seem to be translating in cycling to the office or to work or to school. So what do you think? And remember, the government's given money away for this. Your money was given away in schemes that will, whereby companies will buy bicycles for employees. And it doesn't seem to happen. There's no great rush towards cycling to the office or to work or school. So I just wonder whether you've got the answer to this. How are we going to get towards active travel? Chris Thomas is asking Timwald to call for a report, another report, when it sits next week. DOI said the transport strategy is overarching and will be supported by additional plans such as bus and rail. That's what you call low on detail, isn't it? And how many years are we into this active travel thing? Here's Julian with us now. Hello, Julian. Do you cycle, by the way, Julian?
Yeah, I do like the odd cycle, but not when it's horizontal rain, which we can sometimes get. And, you know, when you've got when you've got debris and branches all over the place, you've got to be careful with that. But, I agree with them. You know, if you're trying to get to school in the morning and, you know, the roads, a lot of places, like one of the students talked about Port Sodderick.
Yeah.
There's no pavements much on that road. It's a bit dodgy going anywhere along the Old Castle Town Road, really. I'm just going to ask you, actually, are you enjoying the Dunkelflaute or dark doldrums weather that we've been having for the past week?
I'm a wide-eyed optimist, Julian. I love all weather.
Yeah. Tell you who doesn't, though. I'm noticing the winds are averaging between 4 and 6 miles an hour across England and Wales. And that's reflected in a couple of websites which report on renewables like Winderful or Energy Dashboard. They're showing that UK wind energy is only contributing 4% to the energy mix, whilst gas is almost at 60%, nuclear at 11%, and expensive European interconnectors at 14%. So if we're getting 4%, that doesn't seem much use out of 270 billion with a B pounds. That would buy a lot of gas power stations, I would think, for 270 billion.
Well, they'd probably say these things even themselves out over the year.
That's right, but that's how you don't get to 65% load factor, because the last week they'll have had nothing. So how you get to the, what was it you said, world-class winds?
That's it, apparently. That's what we've got, world-class winds.
Okay, all right. Well, there's wind somewhere anyway. I went just quickly before I talk about the students. I went to the listening event at Kildare last night.
Oh yes,
a lot of people attended. Quite a few have been injured by the COVID vaccines, and they haven't reported. They haven't either had the doctor or themselves fill out a yellow card. So that FOI I mentioned the other day about 837 locals being seriously injured, that's likely to be an underestimate from what I saw last night on the various tables in the room. I was very pleased to see Teresa Cope, Claire Christian and Chris Thomas at the meeting, but notably absent from all of the meetings, despite being invited, was the Isle of Man Director of Public Health and Chief Medical Officer Matt Tyra. Which I find disappointing. And I'm just wondering whether he might turn up at the last of the listening events, which is next Thursday, the 23rd, at 6:15, at the Western Wellbeing Partnership Centre, which is on Derby Road. It's a red brick building with a red door opposite the big Tesco's. Hope he turns up, because it might be nice for him to turn up to one of them, considering he is the Director of Public Health.
What did the, what was the mood like? What did the people who said they'd been injured, how did they feel that they'd been handled, or how much notice had been taken of them?
Not a lot. There was one or two people that left because they still felt that they were being ignored. I'll talk about this one another time, because there's a few points I'd like to make at some point, but I don't want to take up too much time with these other callers.
Okay.
Your programme yesterday with the students at Castle Russian High School, few topics that were interesting. I noticed on the topic of the 20-mile-an-hour rollout, the answer was not a fan of it, restrictive and painful, especially when the roads are quieter. 100% agree with that. On the subject of climate change, there was concern expressed about the appearance of the giant turbines above Colby and also the destruction of a large quantity of red-listed birds, including hen harriers and buzzards, which, by the way, the buzzards are nesting there, incidentally. And I also, and I'll quote, green is the expensive option and the price keeps going up for Carevi. I agree with all those points as well made by the students. And finally, the subject of AI came up, and its huge thirst for energy and also water supply for cooling. The students also thought it was useless without human input and basically will falsify information. Which I've actually found myself, if you press AI from its first assertion, you can quite often find that it will do a 180. And I just noticed that kind of got me thinking about another point, what they said about AI and computer servers. The Isle of Man is often berated for having one of the highest emissions per capita on the in the world. But if you look into the energy consumption, there are several large server facilities on the island. And looking at the specifications of them, I would say it's likely that they're using up about 20% of the island's electricity at the moment.
Right.
Which is hardly fair to assign those emissions to everyone else on the island. And also, based on some government FOIs, 30% of the power station's electricity is being exported to the UK, including some of the diesel engines. So again, if we're talking about per capita emissions, why is all these emissions being applied to everyone on the island when it's not our choice that the government are running up the diesels and pushing up the gas power station to export to the UK, where we suffer the emissions and the UK says, oh, look, clean energy. And also we've got several servers that are pulling power like Billio out of Pullrose. It doesn't seem very fair that we're being allocated with this. I mean, you could say 30% plus 20%, you could say that half the emissions of the power station are being pushed either as exports or to computer servers. And if we start doing AI, that's 10 times the amount of power you're going to need, because the ones that are here are the standard enterprise servers for just doing things like e-gaming and stuff. You start doing AI, that's 10 times that. So where's this per capita figure? They're sort of telling us, berating us, saying, oh, every person on this island has got a terrible emissions. Yeah. It's unfair, Andy.
When you say a server farm, what do you mean by a server farm?
You know, large amounts of computers that that are making a huge amount of heat, which requires the water cooling, which is one of the students said. So they're pulling, you know, this gigawatt hours, you know, these are thousands of millions of watts of power.
Yeah.
You know, there's several of them on this island.
It would be, I mean, I think, I don't know, I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but I'm sure there's one down at Ronald's Way Industrial Estate because it's surrounded by big barbed wire fences, so I'm guessing that's one of them as well. So it would be nice to know who are the biggest users of electricity? I mean, clusters of electricity, not, you know, just Williston Estate or something like that, but which companies use the most electricity on the Isle of Man and what exactly it's going to be used for? Because, you know, fair's fair. We need to know who's using the most. It will be interesting also to get one of those apps that you can find in the UK and elsewhere, which will tell you how much power is being generated and where it's going to. So how much we're making and how much we're exporting down the pipe to England, as you say, just to know where, you know, because I'm sure Manx Utilities have got all this information. It will be lovely to know, really, just in the interests of clarity and transparency, you know, how much electricity is being made and where it's going to, and exactly, you know, when we're importing. And I think the whole story needs to be told, don't you, Julian?
Yeah, and you know, just today, when you look out the window and you look at the leaves, which I can barely see them moving, in a decarbonised grid, and we don't have a power station anymore, and you look at the weather maps at the moment, there's no wind across the whole of the UK. Even Lerwick was about 10 miles an hour, which is only just into where the turbines start turning. How are these AI centres and computer servers on this island, where they're so important for our business, how are they going to be powering up? Because those things, I mean, one of these servers, I estimate, is pulling the same as Port Erin Castletown or Braddon. All the time, 24/7. I mean, they don't let up, really, because they have to be pushing things around internationally.
Yeah.
So, you know, the time zones, there's always something that's pulling on, you know, like e-gaming. There's people that want to use that anywhere in the world at any moment. So that's a lot of power that they're pulling. It must be, I mean, one of them's not far from Pullrose, and they're pulling a huge amount. So it just makes you wonder how this is going to work on a day like this when, you know, there's not going to be too much solar coming out of those clouds today, and there's not a breath at the minute. And
okay.
I think Sunday maybe it'll get going. But anyway, thanks, Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thanks, Julian. Have a good weekend. Hello there from Stratford Bus Station, Stratford in London, East London Bus Station. So many bus users on electric buses, says Andy. For active travel, why not restrict driving provisional licences to the age of 21? And any non-Douglas ratepayers driving into Douglas would pay a daily access charge. Would those two suggestions work? What they call an access charge. I mean, that's happening all around England. If you ever drive around the big cities, you have to pay to get into it. It's like a big turnstile getting into cities there. We've talked about the question of transport and number of vehicles on the Isle of Man. And it would be interesting to know, wouldn't it, who is using all the electricity that we... I mean, Pullrose is a big power station. It makes a lot. We can't use it all the time. So it would be nice to know, wouldn't it? I mean, as we own it, we own Manx Utilities. How much is being made? How much is being exported? How much we're getting for it, perhaps? You never know. Just to know what's what and what's fair. And did you hear they were talking about the fact that lots of people have got photovoltaic panels, solar panels on their roof now? Lots of people. And there's a lot of power being generated. It is a lot of power, and it's only get more and more and more, which is what they wanted. They wanted us to do that. And at the moment, they charge us roughly 29p per kilowatt hour. And I think we charge them 9p to sell it back. I wonder whether that will change. You never know, do you? Right, text, email. Oh, just a message in from Colin, who just said, when you talk to the students at the various schools, how is the agenda set? Oh, it's them. I mean, really, I just go in with a microphone, two microphones, one for me and one for the students, and they decide what they want to talk about. Yesterday, everything was entirely spontaneous when they were talking about AI, and how they didn't think much of it and how it can be detected in homework and stuff like that. That came straight from the proverbial horse's mouth, as it were. So, right, next time we're out and about, it's Thursday the 6th of November at Ramsey Grammar School. We'll be out and about then. And just before Christmas, I think QE2 High School. Here's Bonzo with us now. Hello, Bonzo.
Hello there. Yes, well, the chap from Stratford East, the start, he's going on about, oh, people should be restricted to provisional licences when they're 21 and until they're... from having a provisional licence until they're 21, etc., obviously hasn't looked at the Equality Act. So that would be discrimination on age, so that would be a problem.
OK.
To put it mildly. Secondly, yes, I didn't hear the Castle Russian High School chat that you had yesterday.
Yeah.
But I noticed how Julian was intimating that somehow all the students there were against Erie staying. Was that the case, or was that just
the ones that spoke up? And remember, Castle Rushen is in the south, so there's a fair chance that some of them are living in Colby and in the south and Port Erin and what have you. So they'll see whatever it is looming above them. But I mean, one particular, I think it was Brescia, one young lady was very voluble about the birds. I mean, I didn't know that many birds were there, but she seemed to know everything about the birds.
Is that the daughter of Kiri Jenkins?
Haven't a clue.
The person who is behind the who is of course behind the anti-Erie Staying movement, and also I think whose daughter was attending Junior Tynwald, where she put forward such views, which were then seized upon by the likes of Julian and Jern, etc., as somehow being, and Eddie, I think, as somehow being representative of some underrepresented portion of the younger generation who were seeing sense as far as he was concerned. Yes, I think, you know, one has to be a little bit cautious about the origin of some of these opinions and how, indeed, these kind of things can be manipulated. And we have seen that in the past with a variety of issues in media. And that is something also, which I've said before, is something we are going to have to guard against in the run-up to the election.
Yeah, well, I mean, some children agree with their parents, and some children vehemently disagree with their parents. Their children, their young people, they'll have their opinions.
Well, quite, but not many of those young people then get a broadcast channel. You know, this is public service broadcasting, and of course, public service broadcasting does have, as I've mentioned before, some obligations.
I don't know what you're suggesting, Bonzo.
Well, that there are some, that there are obligations towards balance and not really ensuring that a variety of opinions are not used and portrayed in certain ways that somehow that those opinions are more broadly held than they are. And what?
Sorry, I really don't understand what point you're trying to make.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is that some people will, if they want to, put forward certain views, will sometimes use proxies. And that's where, and that's a well-known technique of influence.
Okay. Right, you've lost me there completely, but do go on.
Well, yeah, as I say. Then coming on to data centres and such like. Well, yes, data centres do use quite a bit of power, but power also costs money. So I'm sure data centers are using now probably proportionately less power than they did. You've only got to look at an old PC now and a new PC and see less power that the new PC actually draws than the old one. But of course, the flip side of that coin is that, you know, you're using more of them in a server farm. And a typical server farm would be drawing, yes, the same kind of power as a town like Port Erin and such. But those server farms, of course, have lots and lots and lots of servers in them. And also, of course, the problem is that they have to be cooled. So you need more electricity to run the cooling and the refrigeration. But the thing that really, really eats power, and I don't think we've got any of those, are Bitcoin farms. Bitcoin farms use extremely, extremely powerful graphics cards and chips to be able to do all the calculations that it needs to generate the Bitcoin. And they very famously set up in Iceland, and they brought the grid down because they just drew so much power from the grid. Thankfully, as I say, we don't have that, but the renewables generation, in order to power everything, not just server farms and stuff, again, it is a mix. Nobody is saying that we shouldn't have the form of power station and that we should rely entirely on wind, because, well, there are some days, like today, when it isn't terribly windy. And there are issues of storage, although the storage from that generation, they're making more and more progress all the time. But one of the reasons why, of course, there are more solar panels now on people's roofs is that they are very, very cheap. And the Chinese, the primary manufacturers of them, are essentially dumping them on the world market. So there's never been a better time to get a photovoltaic panel if you're wanting to buy one. Yeah. So I think that would explain the take up. Now, whether of course the government wants to take advantage of that low pricing and start putting everything PV panels on every piece of roof space they have, or indeed subsidising people to do that. That's a political decision, and I dare say somebody's developing a policy on that, policies on that, and that'll come, you know, in the next election.
Okay.
But I think as I say say that renewables, it's not windy. You know, what happens when, you know, the Trumpist idea of what happens when we run out of wind? It's a specious argument then.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it, Bonzo. Have a good weekend.
Okay, thanks for that.
29 minutes past 12 on Man in Line today. Active travel, says NT. Do the people who advocate this, MHKs, people like that, actually cycle to work? How many of our politicians actually cycle to work? It will be nice to know. Regarding active travel, says Andrea, again, how many MHKs cycle, walk or use public transport to get to work? They should be leading by example if they're promoting. Well, I have to tell you, Chris Thomas does, because I see him walking. I see Chris walking down the Old Castle Town Road and up to... So that's one MHK. Chris Thomas walks to and from the office. Active travel, I mean, it would be unfair, really, to ask Mr. Cannon or Mr. Hooper or Dr. Allenson to walk, as they're resident in the north. It would be a bit much. They'd be setting off at 4 a.m. But they should be leading by example if they're promoting it, says Andrea. Active travel on the Isle of Man's never going to happen. Too many hills and nasty weather. Well, you can understand that, because they're very big on active travel, on cycling in Holland, but Holland's very flat, apart from the southeast bit around Maastricht. But they do get some fairly heavy winds and rain in Holland, and they tend to cycle through all that. How much power will we be getting from the turbines at the moment, said Bill. Well, not much, to be quite honest. You'll never get students to cycle to school if they or their parents don't feel it's safe in the traffic, says 753. And active travel, says Ali, is nonsense. Active travel only works in cities and flat countries with established infrastructure, winds under 40 miles per hour and rain that isn't horizontal. The distances most people live from shops, schools and work means there aren't enough hours in the day not to use cars. So how many MHKs actually cycle daily to get to the office? Well, there's a question for your prospective MHK next year when they knock on the door. Did you cycle here? Mark's on now. Hello, Mark.
Yeah, hi, Andy. I just wanted to clarify some of the points that Bonza was talking about, data centres getting more energy efficient. Now, they are energy they are looking to be very energy efficient, but the amount of infrastructure that's been poured into the United States at the moment with the AI data centres, there is so much concern with regards to the amount of energy they will be consuming that people like Bill Gates have actually invested in nuclear power, so molten salt reactors, because they're actually concerned about where is all the power going to come from. They're not going to rely on renewables. They want to be energy efficient, and they want to have a low carbon footprint because it makes sense, but they're not going to be relying on solar panels and wind. It's going to be nuclear reactors, these small molten reactors, and there's a lot of money being poured into that, and that's probably going to be the future, whether we like it or not, as we go to a more and more advanced society. The data centers are consuming vast amounts of power. They're also shipping over sort of gas plants from Europe into America at the moment, and these plant and machinery are sort of a temporary measure. I mean, gas, again, being sort of a transition fuel, they're also being used to future-proof the data centers. So to say that these data centers are going to be reliant on wind and solar is an absolute nonsense. I mean, the other word for renewable, I'm not anti-renewable, I'm becoming a bit more anti-wind as more information becomes on, but the fact is, renewables, another word, is unreliable. It's unreliable energy. It creates energy, but we don't have the sufficient storage to actually keep it for longer term. So nuclear is probably going to be the future in these small molten reactors. And Rolls-Royce are investing a vast amount of money in there. And if you keep an eye on the stocks and shares, you'll see that there's a lot of movement in this area as well. That's a nonsense. I mean, AI and data centers are going to be consuming vast amounts of energy. And your student yesterday was spot on with that. I mean, they're aware of that. I just want to make that point and clarify, because it's an absolute nonsense.
Okay. Well, when you talk about small nuclear reactors, we talked about the Rolls-Royce ones years and years ago. In fact, we spoke to the guy from Sheffield University. How small is small?
So they can fit into size of a 20-foot container, basically.
A shipping container?
Yeah, shipping container. So in shipping, for example, there's actually a move to have these molten saltwater reactors on board ships, because obviously shipping is looking to decarbonize as well.
Right.
And again, ships, it gets difficult. You know, what type of fuel are you going to use? And there's a growing trend or growing impetus, should we say, from some blue chip shipping companies that are very large and very well respected and are wanting to do their bit to reduce their carbon footprint in investing in nuclear power. The International Maritime Organization is also looking at the legislation around this area. So that's the way things seem to be gravitating towards, let's call it heavy industry, and I include data centers and heavy industry with regards to making sure they have reliable energy and not unreliable energy.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it, Mark. Thanks for calling today.
All right. Cheers.
Good to hear from you. 25 to 1 now. Brian's with us now. Hello, Brian. Thanks for hanging on. Hello, Brian. We'll try and find Brian.
Not ready to say goodbye to summer sunshine. Book a direct winter sun holiday with flights to Tenerife departing Ronald's Way from November to February. Book flights from only £499 per person return or a complete holiday package and look forward to a relaxing break. No stress, no stops, just more time to enjoy the sun and unwind. Visit flydirect.co.uk to book now with a low deposit.
This old house needed new windows. This old house needed a new door. And with DPM Conservatories, we got all that and more. Now our bills are lower and the house is warmer too. We're cleaner and we're greener since we swapped our old for new. Stunning A-plus rated replacement windows and doors, expertly fitted by DPM Conservatories. Phone 612 333 or find them on Facebook and swap your old for new.
Jump on Groundwell Glen Railway's family-friendly, not-so-scary Hop-to-Nay train this October 25th or 26th and travel to see Ginny the Witch in her lair. Includes train travel, refreshments and a children's gift from Ginny. Booking essential. Visit gtr.org.uk.
The previous message was brought to you by QVH, the island's premier serviced offices and co-working space in the heart of Douglas. Call 639 940 for more information or visit qvhpremierofficespace.com.
After claiming their first win under their caretaker manager last weekend, FC Alabama will be hoping to take another step forward 7 days on. The Ravens return to NWCFL Premier Division action on Saturday night when they host FC St Helens at the Bowl in Douglas. Join me, Rob Pritchard and Darren Timpson for FC Alabama versus FC St Helens, kicking off at 6pm this Saturday. Manx Radio will be bringing you full live match commentary on our DAB and AM1368 channels.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Fingers crossed for the Ravens tomorrow. 23 minutes to one if we found Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hello. Don't know what happened there. I couldn't see. You obviously couldn't hear me.
Intermittent
I'd
energy,
like to talk
we'll
about
call it.
Is that what it is? Yes. Oh, it must be that solar.
Okay.
I'd like to talk about the MUA.
Okay.
I've noticed what I would consider to be an anomaly. Now, I have spoke to the MUA about this, and they tell me, no, they can do this. It's perfectly legitimate. All right, so I'll explain it to you. You're there with your house and you've got your solar panels on, and, I mean, they've just released an article now saying there's something like 1,000 private properties producing X amount of kilowatt hours going back to the grid. So, your solar panels are on, you're overproducing for what you need in your house at that precise minute. So, that production then goes back into the MUA network. Right, now, where it goes, I don't know, but it could technically go to the house next door to you or across the road because they've got the cooker on or something like this. And it's peak time. So the person who supplied it, and this is the bit, gets 9p for it, but is not VAT eligible. So it then goes across the road on the cable to the house across the road, and it goes into the house across the road, and they're getting charged 28 point something plus VAT. How are the MUA able to charge VAT on a product that they're buying in which is not VAT accountable?
Well, well, well. Now, how did you figure this out?
Because I've got solar panels and I looked at the bill and thought, hey, up, where's this going? And everywhere else. And I contacted the MUA and spoke to their customer services and put this question to them. And the woman come back to me 24 hours later and said, oh, no, we're perfectly allowed to do that. Now, if you're in a retail or something like this, if you buy something in that's not got VAT on it when you bring it in, you're not allowed to put it on VAT to take it out the door, as far as I know.
Is that so?
Well, that's my understanding of it.
Right, because I thought if you were selling something that's VAT rateable, then the moment you take possession of it, you can put VAT. I mean, basically, all VAT rated businesses are unpaid tax collectors for the government, aren't they? So the people who are making the money
on this
are the government, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I'd agree with you wholeheartedly.
So what we're saying is,
but I didn't think
unless
that was the case on a product that hasn't got VAT on it to start off with.
So if you were a company, if you had a retail premises and you had solar panels on the roof, I wonder whether you could charge VAT on the electricity you're selling to Manx Utilities. It's just because at the moment you're a private individual.
Yes. So I don't know how it works. And as I said, the only explanation I got off the MUA was, oh, yes, we can do it. They couldn't explain to me how they could do it, or he couldn't. But yes, we can.
Okay.
Fobbed off. Bye-bye. Have a nice day.
Good to hear from you. All right. Thanks, Brian.
All right, thank you very much.
Have a good weekend. 21 minutes to one. Manx Utilities apparently is seeing an increasing trend when it comes to renewable energy on the Isle of Man. They say that many people are privately installing the means of generation multiple times larger than they need. Speaking at Timwell's Environment and Infrastructure Policy Review Committee, Chief Exec Philip King said about 1,000 MUA customers now have their own renewable energy source installed, their little power stations. Well, you'll hear from Philip King in a moment, but here's the finance director, Simon Clegg, from Manx Utilities.
What we've seen in the last few years is whilst we've always tried to help customers install renewable generation, private generation, which matches their requirements, because of things like the reduction in cost of solar panels and the equipment which goes with it, we've seen customers installing generation which is multiple times larger than their demand. So on the one hand, we're having to pay more for energy than we can buy on the market, despite it not really being any more valuable to us. And then on the other hand, we're having bigger fluctuations in power flows on the network, because somebody who's installing a solar array four times larger than they actually need during the summer will be exporting quite a lot of energy to us because they won't be using it. But then in terms of network planning, come the winter, it won't be exporting very much at all. And so whereas historically we've been quite good at predicting customer demand and how to how much electricity we have to buy every day, either from the power station or from the UK, it's now much harder to predict because people are probably putting a bit extra on because of our export rate.
Just so having said all that, there is an increasing trend. So at the moment we've got about 1,000 customers who have got their own renewable energy installed. That's ever increasing. It's reported to the board, and it's something we're very mindful of for the reasons that Simon's just said. But at the moment, in terms of self-generation on the island, if you do it as a collective, it probably represents about 7 megawatts. It's fairly significant and it's growing. So we need to be mindful of how that interfaces with the grid and the impacts on the grid and the impacts on the financial pricing strategy as well. So we've got two sustainable generation tariffs, one for domestic and one for businesses, and they are being used.
When they say the financial tariff, do they mean it's going to go down? At the moment, when you're selling electricity, you get 9p. They're not going to lower the price. They wanted us to do this, didn't they? This is a government thing. They wanted us to get solar panels. And now people are getting solar panels. You just wonder, is the infrastructure in place to deal with all this? Interesting point, and particularly if you've bought solar panels, if you're now a little power station yourself, I wonder what you think about this. I got a note in from, it was Kath. Hello, Kath. Kath in Ramsey, who just said, sadly, my dad passed away over the past few months. And we found a lot of cassettes in his loft of Manx Radio. Do you want them? Yes, we do. If you've got any old cassettes of Manx Radio programmes in years gone by, then by all means send them to them. We'll have a listen to them. And if we can use them, what we're doing at the moment is digitising our entire archive. Now, we've been going over 60 years and we've kept lots and lots of programmes. So at the moment, Tenacious Tim in the archive is digitising everything. Everything is being put onto computer. And at some point in the future, it will be open for public access. I was in there the other day listening to Jeff Cannell in the 1979 TT. It was absolutely fascinating. So if you've got any old cassettes of old Manx or old reel-to-reels of old Manx radio programmes, we'd be more than happy to receive them.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
Need quality Type 1 stone for your building or contracting job? Then contact Tells. With no minimum order, the collection collection or delivery. Call 677-137. Visit Tells Limited in Snugborough or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Skips are what they do.
We're the guys that hire one to you.
Call Tells Skips today.
677-137.
Dear Santa, this Christmas I would like more customers and more sales, please. I have been very good.
There are more reliable ways to make sure your business gets what it needs this winter. At Manx Radio, we'll create tailor-made advertising solutions to get you the results you want over the festive season and into the new year. Call our friendly sales team now on 682620 and give your business a really happy Christmas and New Year with the nation's station, Manx Radio.
Can I have a new bike too?
No, buy your own.
Oh.
Ride the trams and trains this autumn. Get discounted travel with 1, 3, 5 or 7 day Go Explore cards. Visit the Isle of Man's heritage sites with the Go Explore Heritage Card, which includes entry into national heritage sites. And enjoy lovely days out to Port Erin, Laxey or Ramsey. For timetables and more great destinations, plan your trips out now at rail.im.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And Patrick's on now. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Andy. Andy, it's a catch-22 situation. How much debt was the MEA in when Monk Crawford left the scene? And the interest on that debt? And now, if people supplying electricity to the MEA with solar panels, does the debt fall on the people who haven't got solar panels? Does the price of electricity going to go up and up?
Well, you would hope. I mean, the thing is, it's not inevitable that the price of electricity goes up. I mean, we get charged a lot for electricity, but then again, the Western world gets charged a fortune for electricity because it's a cash cow. The price of electricity...
Yeah, but what about the debt? What about the debt?
Well, that has to be serviced, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's got... I mean, nobody ever mentioned how much it is, but it must be quite a large amount. You tied it into a long-term... interest rate thing, didn't he?
Yeah.
What the bank he was with. So, to me, it's a catch-22 where people who have supplying electricity to the grid,
yeah,
they're on the winner, but the people who are actually buying electricity in from the MEA, it's going to cost a lot more in years to come.
Well, you would think, and the thing is, remember, it's the government that are heading towards net zero. It's their, you know, it's their plan to go to net zero. So you would think they'd make it as easy as possible for as many people as possible to have solar panels by offering things like interest-free loans, that the government should lend the money out for people to get solar panels. So if anybody wants them, they can have them and spread the cost out.
Yes, that'd be a good idea. The other point I was going to make, I was at the choir concert a week ago, and it was absolutely marvellous. It's only on every second year, but people should get in their notebook now. The choir concert in 2 years' time, it is a fantastic day. It's a weekend, actually, a full weekend. I only went on the Sunday, but what fantastic voices you hear.
Okay.
And lots of good choirs come over as well. Very good.
All right. Have a good weekend, Patrick. Thanks for being with us.
Bye for now.
All right. Peter dropped me a note and said you were asking how much the data centres consume. Typically, a small data centre with between 500 and 2,000 servers will consume 5 megawatts, between probably 2 and 5 megawatts of electricity. That's a small data centre. Big one? 100 megawatts of power. I mean like 100,000 square foot with thousands and thousands of servers which are needed. So there are data centres on the Isle of Man. They do consume a lot of power. It would just be nice to know, in the interest of transparency, who is the biggest consumer of electricity on the Isle of Man? I wonder. David's on now. Hello, David. Or have we got Eddie? I think Eddie's on. Hello, Eddie.
Hiya, Andy. All right, mate?
Yes, fine, thanks.
Good. I listened to yesterday's programme. It was very good. A lot of things struck me, though. One particular thing is when all the kids were talking, you were asking how many hours they spend on what are all these things, TikTok, yeah. Facebook, oh, so, they, so
yeah.
and so on.
Yeah, some of them love TikTok.
Yeah, but they all came to the same conclusion I noticed, which was that they don't believe a thing that's on there. Did you notice that?
Well, it's interesting. It's also a bit depressing, isn't it? That the fact that not many of them watch actual television, not many of them actually read a newspaper, and where they get their news from is a place they don't really believe. So you just wonder what's going to happen in the future.
Well, we've got lots of kids, grandkids and everything, and we actually watch them all. It's a little phase they go through with TikTok and that, isn't it? And to me, I don't think they're very long on it before they realise it's a load of nonsense, which is what came out of your students' comments yesterday. And the other one was AI. I meant to come on about a week or so ago to... I noticed the government here... sort of heading towards AI. Also, I've been watching the news in the recent years. AI is creating a situation where you take, for instance, a co-op, Land Rover, even MI5, you name it, they've been hacked.
Yeah.
And some of the countries that we are all saying are really bad at the moment, China, Russia, and so on, they're the ones who are being accused of doing it. Well, they're not going to ease off. The more technology they get, is the more they're going to do it, I think. This is just an opinion of mine. But I've been listening to other comments on Question Time and things like that about AI, and a lot of people think the same. AI is not reliable and honest. And I think that came out with your students yesterday. These are our future, and I really enjoyed listening to a lot of them yesterday. And the other one was the comments about wind turbines and things. Well, considering that they are allowed, all these sixth form students have been allowed to listen to the commercial spiel that's given about wind turbines and so forth, they were refused a free... lectures from one of Britain's top experts on the subject. Why? These people want to learn. They're there, the students. Why is it that they are not allowed to listen to the other side of the story? Which is what... There's an awful lot of people up at Airystain here. We've got ornithologists, scientists, you name it, biologists, the lot. These people could teach. We would be willing... to give them a free lesson. But even better, the question is, would they have, if you'd have asked them the question, would they have liked to have listened to Paul Burgess's lectures? I'll bet you they'd all say yes, why not?
Okay, all right.
It's free.
Good to hear from you. Look, we've got a dice because David's waiting for us now. Okay, thanks. Have a good weekend, Eddie. Mate. Good to hear from you. David's, hello, David.
Hi, mate. You had me talking for a while. No worries on the end, but never mind.
Okay.
Listen, regarding the just to Patrick's answer too, because when I was in government, don't forget we amalgamated the Manx Utilities, or the MEA at the time,
yeah.
with the Water Authority. And that was a great, as far as I was concerned anyway, a great thing to put together, because the Water Authority was carrying loads of bonds, which... I would think they're probably coming up to maturity now, so that would have paid for anything that was happening with the MEA scandal at the time on that. But I don't know, because I haven't seen the accounts for years from the MEA. But what I was going to say was, Andy, this morning I had a request from a company in the UK to say to him, do you want some free panels? And I said to the fella, I said, I give him the reception number for the Alamann government. I said, what you need to do is ring up this number. And I said, it was no joke. I said, and ask for the Treasury Minister or the Chief Minister and ask him, how many do you want?
And what did he say?
He cut me off.
Okay. Right. How much power are you generating at the moment?
Oh, no, I haven't got the iPad with me. But no, I'm not generating any time. But I'm keeping the house going. That's the issue, you see. And regarding Patrick, who was saying, because I know where Patrick lives in Auckland there too, we're providing energy for ourselves, and we're not putting a burden on the MEA. What we need to do is actually, like I've said it all the time, all the big properties we've got within government, planning applications now shouldn't go through unless they've got PV panels on the roof. Yeah. And I went down to see the wind turbine at Hills Meadow. It was slowly turning the other day, but we haven't had enough wind.
Okay.
Never mind.
Good to hear from you.
Leave it to you. Bye.
Thanks for being with us today, David. And remember, the Man in Line is an opinion programme. If you've got anything to say, and if you want to respond to anything that you hear on Man in Line, then by all means, you are more than welcome to come on and say. If you can't get on live, as in call, text, email or WhatsApp, remember, the answer phone is 682-631. That's 682-631. It's always open 24 hours a day. And out of hours, the email is maninline@manxradio.com. Thank you from Terry with an I. Really enjoyed listening to the students at Castle Rushen High School. It's always interesting to hear what young people today think. I thought they sounded very sensible. Interesting to hear what Sully had to say. And also, I think it was Daniel who said he tried AI on some of his homework and got found out. So apparently they've got a computer program that will check through to see if something is AI generated. Anyway, that's it. Back with another open line on Monday. In the meantime, have a fantastic weekend. Thanks to Chris on the phone. And do take care.
WINT